Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
A handoff, it's Connaughton. Knife his way through the lane, flips it up and in with a right hand. Pat Connaughton on a 5-0 run of his own.
Butts Talk starts now.
With 5 seconds left, Giannis crossing over. He's going to pull up. 17-footer bounces around. No good. Ball's tapped out of bounds. And the horn sounds.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
All right, well, we heard from Doc Rivers. I think that's what a lot of us were waiting for, that type of reaction. You got to be careful about picking your spots where you use those. You can't be the coach that reacts that way every single time, and I think Doc Rivers knows that. But two straight games where we have seen calls that you just, those are tough calls to make in those situations. The last 2-minute report against the Pistons revealed, yeah, we made a mistake. That was not a foul. I'll be very curious, as everybody listening to this, everybody watching the game will be as well, to see tomorrow's, you know, what costs the Bucks here. And honestly, this one, you have more of a case with this call than you did the Pistons call. But I think ultimately what cost Giannis was his hand was in the zone there with LaMelo Ball still. It appeared pretty evident. LaMelo Ball was already losing his footing and tripped. Everything the Bucks did to close that out, the defensive set that they ran, how they blitzed LaMelo Ball, like, that's the most frustrating part about losing this game was, okay, you saw how it could work, and you saw, here's what Doc Rivers wants to do. We did it. And still, LaMelo Ball gets the call, goes to the line. You had your chance. This isn't as simple as just, hey, LaMelo Ball made the two free throws. Like, you still had 7 seconds. But two straight games. And I think you could clearly see the frustration boiling over there with Doc Rivers. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. I don't want to make too much out of this single game, but I leave this game very positive, like very encouraged by where this team is headed. It's a disappointing loss. It is disappointing to be 4-9 on the season. I get all that. But you cannot watch these games and sit here and tell me, yeah, this team looks the exact same. Since the month of November, this has been a different team. Now, as we talked about the last couple of games, Brandon, that's great. You got to win games, though. Like, the process has been good. The results have to be there as well. I still believe it's getting there, and the process will, the results will get there. I think the big thing about today was Doc mentioned it on the post game. We talked about it before the game, how you're going to organize your offense and run things when you're down to just DeLon Wright. Pat Connaughton had to be that other guy. Giannis was basically your point guard all game. Like, you knew that was going to be a challenge, but this is a spot where we have seen the Bucks get run off the floor as early as this season, several times last year, where, well, we're down guys, we're down important guys. It's a younger team that we're up against. It's an early tip. Like, I'm sure a majority of people listening to the show now and watching this game today thought they're going to lose this game by double figures. And they were in it all the way throughout. It was a spirited effort from this group. You saw a lot from individuals to build on. And again, since November 2nd, with that 1-point loss to the Cavaliers, this has looked like a much different team.
It has. I definitely agree with you, Justin. And I'm going to give the Bucks a lot of credit, and you and I will, I'll blast the referees here in a minute. But this is a typical game where in years past the Bucks would have lost by 20 points. I mean, you're down a ton of players: Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, maybe not 100%, still had 10 points in 21 minutes, or where was he at? 21 points. Sorry, 21 points. A lot of credit to the Bucks for this one, and I thought they did a fantastic job. I thought Pat Connaughton was really good, especially late. Gary Trent Jr. finally looks like he's kind of finding his way, which is really good to see. Taurean Prince, the leading scorer for this Bucks team today, with 23 points and just a fantastic game. I had a bad feeling about this one after Rollins was ruled out, Justin, after Damian Lillard was ruled out. Yeah, and so... For them to kind of, you know, string together this game. And I think also, Justin, in the same breath, that's what makes the loss frustrating is because it was right there again for another loss in the column that should have been a win. I think that's what's frustrating about all of it. If you're an NBA fan, it's just another frustrating outcome in another game where you put the game in the hands of the referees. I don't understand what we are doing. I don't understand. Even I put it on my Twitter, the Charlotte broadcast and was talking about LaMelo Ball slipping on his own shoes. I mean, and credit to Doc Rivers. I mean, above all of this, shout out to Doc Rivers, because I thought his post-game press conference was exactly how every Bucks fan was feeling, how we all should felt, and I'm glad he aired it out. I'm sure he'll get a nice fine in the mail, but I thought it needed to be said, because if they don't win that Detroit game, Justin, I mean, we're looking at a 2-11 team with two games, their last two games being decided by a referee calling a foul on the NBA's top player, or at least in that discussion, you know, a phantom foul. I mean, you mentioned it with Dave, that the 2-minute report after that Pistons game, they came out and admitted they were wrong. And they looked at that foul during the game. They reviewed that one, and they still got it wrong in Detroit. And now you go into a game where it's been a great game. I mean, for both teams battling back and forth. I know in the first half there were 7 lead changes. It was a great game. It was a really good game. It was well played. But in no way, in no how, Justin, does Giannis shoot one free throw in any game that he ever played. He should never shoot one free throw. I mean, he is. I know he's been taking a lot more mid-range jumpers. I know he's kind of been feasting a little bit more outside of the paint. But one free throw? I mean, there's no excuse for it. And I don't want to be that guy that comes on here and blames the referees. But the Bucks played about as good of a game as they could have played with what they had. Yes, you want to limit those second chance opportunities that it seemed like Charlotte was just feasting, especially in that first half at. But outside of that, man, I don't have any complaints. I thought this team played extremely well. It should have been a Bucks victory. And that's the frustrating part, is they're down a handful of guys, their second best player, their third best player, their backup point guard. Giannis is running point. And it just felt like it, you know, the victory was snatched. And, we probably aren't talking about this if they, have a few more wins and they beat, Brooklyn and Chicago earlier in the year and a couple other games. And one of those Cav games go the other way and you don't feel as bad. But now every loss feels much more impacted in the win-loss category. And this is another one where just Bucks played really, really well. Got a lot of contribution from a lot of guys that stepped up. I mentioned them, Prince, Connaughton. Andre Jackson Jr., I thought, was fantastic tonight,
yeah,
14 points.
Your bench was very good, second highest scoring total from the bench so far this season. It did seem as though you started to find the groupings that worked. We wondered about Gary Trent Jr., too, like seeing those three threes go through against the Pistons. Is that the start? And he looked a lot better tonight, too. Like, he's looking more comfortable and confident. Ajax, I thought how he grew as the game went on, and where you're utilizing him and figuring out how to really make the most of that dunker spot, but the three-point shooting was what stood out the most. I mean, there's a lot of positives that's going on with this group right now. It's just the cloud of a 4-9 record and ambiguity over when Chris Middleton is going to return, continuing to play without Damian Lillard. The defense has not been the problem I know it's not a huge sample size, but we're going on about 10 games now. The defense has not been the problem here in the month of November, and that's what leaves me the most encouraged moving forward, because when you get those guys back, the growth that we've seen between Giannis and Dame in their play together as well, I know it's going to be met with, how do you know it's going to, but like when you get Chris Middleton back, your offense is going to look a lot different and start to take a step forward. When guys are hitting shots consistently, as we've started to see, the offense is going to be better. The defense has been good enough, and that to me is what the most encouraging part of all of this is. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk is, again, 4-9, disappointing start, disappointing loss, especially with that call, but there are some areas to point to and say, I feel good about where this is headed. We'll take your thoughts and share some of those numbers after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, so I think we mentioned the the biggest positives from this game. Andre Jackson Jr., I mean, last year, the issues with Andre Jackson Jr. were the foul rate. And not only that, the question, too, over can we find minutes that we can play him with Giannis offensively when you have two non-shooters on the floor? And I think, you know, Doc Rivers said this before the game. He talked about it a little bit again after the game. They have been actively trying to work with to find ways of not only sitting the dunker, but here's what you do when this happens. Here's your secondary action. Early in the game, there was a couple of times where Giannis found him, and it's just his nature that he's an unselfish, energetic guy that he was looking to pass it out. I know one resulted in a turnover, but he grew more comfortable in that spot as the game went on. And of course, you don't expect Ajax to go 4 or 5 on threes every game, but when he does that, it makes everything else work. He has continued to really impress me this season. Is, you know, I think we were all very high on him last year and what he showed you, but you also left wondering, well, do I like him more because of some of the struggles we've seen from individuals defensively? Like, he just pops more because he's not at that level. And I think so far this season, he has answered that question of no. Like, you like him because of what he's showing you. He's cut down on the fouling. He is clearly an impactful defensive player that has warranted playing. And it's showing with how much this group has turned around. I mentioned it's looked better for the last, 2 weeks or so since November started. So, today's the 16th. So for the last 16 days, it has looked better. They have the 9th best defense in the league since November 1st. And before you point to, well, yeah, but small sample size of games, I believe we're looking at 10 games here for this group, 8 games for the Bucks in the month of November. 4 of those 8 games have been against 3 of the top 4 offenses in the league, in the Cavs, the Celtics, and the New York Knicks. And yes, the Knicks game was the one you would point to and say, well, they were just run off the floor there. But it's not like the Bucks are just playing inferior opponents and, yeah, the defense looks good, but here's who they played. They've played good offenses. And if the defense is going to hover anywhere around top 10, you are going to be in a very, very good spot. Because I keep pointing out, this offense, that's what the problem has been so far this season. It's easy to understand why it's there when this was your third straight game without Damian Lillard, when you still don't have Chris Middleton, and this is a top-heavy team that's going to need him. It's easy to understand that. There were still some clunky moments early in the season when they're clearly doing things differently. I think we've seen them shift a little bit, not necessarily back to, but seen more of what we've grown accustomed to from this group. But right now, I mean, I haven't even looked, Brandon. I would guess they're close to 20th offensively for the season as a whole. In the month of November, they're 17th. So you have the 17th best offense and the 9th best defense.
Definitely feels like it, too. Passes the eye test, for sure.
Look, famous last words, I get that. This team they're not going to be a mid-tier offense all season. Like, as soon as you start to get these pieces back, that offense is going to move up. And with that, your wins are going to come. As long as the defense keeps playing like this, they're keeping you in games and doing enough to give you a chance to win the game, you need your elite offense to take over. And whether that's the change, whether it's the fact that Dame has been out for the last 3 games, that Chris hasn't been there all season long, that's what you're really noticing right now, is the offense has not been good enough.
Yeah, and to go to your Andre Jackson Jr. Discussion a minute ago, I believe at one point during this game, Justin, you can correct me if I'm wrong, LaMelo Ball was like 3 for 11. I mean, he was hounding the crap out of him. He finished with 26 points, but I think in entering that fourth quarter, he only was in the high teens. I thought Andre Jackson Jr. was a huge reason why this game kind of was what it was. Obviously, 14 points was fantastic, but I think he did such a great job on LaMelo Ball, who is, I believe, number 3 in the NBA in scoring, and he finished with 26 points, and that's below his average. And he shot 7 of 20 tonight from the field, and I think that's a huge credit. Obviously, DeLon Wright was also a big part of that. I thought DeLon Wright did a really good job on LaMelo Ball. But Andre Jackson Jr. is right there. He's that guy, man. I feel like I'm beating the dead horse when I say it, because I say it almost every game, but he just, when you watch him and you take away the analytics and take away what he's shooting or scoring or causing somebody else to shoot, he just does everything what you'd want a player to do. And he does it in the best way possible. It just, he hustles. I mean, he finds, looking for the open guy. He's not looking to score the ball. I believe Doc Rivers called him a connector, and that's kind of what he really has been. And there's moments, and I was on the TV broadcast today, Marcus Johnson was talking, you know, maybe just develop a little bit of a floater, a little bit of something to give something, you know, other guys, and, you know, to think about when entering that dunker spot instead of just trying to always slam it in. But absolutely agree with you. It does pass the eye test. It's just... it's frustrating because we're talking about the you know, just weights and the futures and trending in the right direction, man. It should have been a win today. Should have been a win today.
855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. We pointed to the schedule that was coming up for the Bucks, so we'll do a pulse check on that because, mention, this is the important stretch, and this was a winnable game. That's the frustrating part, but again... I don't want to harp on it too much because it is a it's in the neighborhood of moral victory when you start to do that. But I was very impressed with how they came out and played today because this is an area in this situation, and not only that, not just being without Dame and not knowing the status of Bobby Portis until shortly before the game, even Giannis and AJ Green for that matter, still without Chris. But the fact that they were down to only Delon Wright as your point guard and the importance of handling pressure, organizing the offense, like this could have gone very south very quickly here. And I'm assuming a lot of Bucks fans probably thought that was going to be the case, especially in light of that game against the Memphis Grizzlies, the game against the New York Knicks. We've seen this script before, and they didn't do it. And again, you know, you date this back to that November 2nd game against the Cavaliers. You have one disappointing game where Giannis questioned your competitiveness against the New York Knicks. Outside of that, you played three games against the Cavs and the Celtics, who are arguably the two best teams in the league by record, two of the three best teams in the league. And you are in every one of those games. You've beaten teams that should you beat? Yeah, but the process and how you looked in those games has been much better, too. This next week is going to be important, though. I don't want to gloss over that because Monday is going to be tough. It's a Rockets team that's playing very, very good of late. And just the importance that's going to hang over you of you got home games, you got games against teams you should win. You need to win these games. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today. We'll get to more of your thoughts and preview that homestand after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
115-114, the final in Charlotte. The Hornets sting the Bucks. LaMelo Ball, two late free throws to win this in a or on a play that will be discussed for certainly the immediate future here, and we'll all wait to see what the last two-minute report reveals tomorrow morning. We heard Doc Rivers sound off, though, about not only this one, the one against the Pistons as well. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with John in Waukesha.
Hey, guys. I was only able to see the game for a little bit, starting with 4.5 minutes ago in the fourth quarter. But at this point, do the Bucks seriously start looking at trading Dame? I understand that he's a big loss from a point standpoint, but it's now several games post-concussion. And at this point, the Bucks are winning without him. I understand we're, you know, we're 4-9
Hang on, John. It's three games. That's several?
Sorry, you're cutting out a little bit.
So it's not several games.
For a couple games.
Yeah, three.
So what I'm asking is, you know, generally you can come back pretty quickly. I'm not doubting his concussion.
Well, hang on. There is no generally with concussions.
Understand. What I'm trying to say is if the Bucks are playing as good, I understand they had some crummy calls down the stretch, but they're winning without Dame. if they trade him to get some assets, if they need youthfulness. They need young guys like Ajax, who's playing his tail off. They need youthful guys.
All right, John, I understand. I understand what your point is and what you're saying, but if you trade Damian Lillard, you're moving somewhere else. Like, if you trade Damian Lillard, it is a concession that this isn't going to work. Our expectations are not a championship this year. They are not there yet. And look, they're winning games, sure, 2-1 in an incredibly small sample size. And let me ask you this. If Damian Lillard is healthy today, who takes the final shot?
Yep.
Yeah, it's Dame time. I mean, but at this point, the Bucks are such an old team. I mean, look at Chris Middleton. Everyone's banking on him coming back. And there seems to be everyone's skirting the issue as to when it's going to happen. At this point, they can't trade him because he's not tradable due to injury. But at what point do you move forward with youthfulness on this team?
When you can see that our ceiling is not a championship. Like, that's what you're doing if you're moving forward with youth. And if you do that, what is? And
look at all the great talent.
You don't have lottery picks on your team. You don't have a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You don't have guys that you took in the top 10. You don't have a Chet Holmgren. That's not how this team was constructed. Like, you think if you trot out all the young guys that you have now, you're on the level with Oklahoma City?
Look at horse draft picks over the last several years.
What do you expect when he's picking towards the
end? How many of these guys are hitting?
Fine, but how many? Number one, how many picks have they had? You haven't had a pick every single year because that's part of the deal that we're playing for now and a championship. And also, again, if you're going to compare draft picks, let's use the context of where these guys were taken versus 18th, 24th, end of the first round.
Very valid points. Absolutely. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that the Bucks need to get useful. Giannis is the best thing that's happened to Milwaukee in a lifetime. I'm 51, and I love his enthusiasm and his love for the city and all the BS about him wanting to leave. He just wants to win. And Milwaukee wants him to win. We all want to win. We want to go back to the championship. But at this point, the Bucks continue to get old while all the other teams, other than the Lakers and a few other teams, everyone's getting younger, and we keep getting older. Bobby Portis should go. Pat Connaughton, yeah, he hit 5 points in a row. But at what point do you cut bait with guys that are, you know, well beyond their years with the Bucks? That's what we have. That's what we're dealing with right now. Because to your point, we don't have any picks until, what, 2031 at this point? So,
well, you
I'm
have
just a frustrated Bucks
picks.
Fan.
You don't. You can't move them until then. And look, I get your points. Thanks for the call, John. And it's something that we all discussed. It's an old team, and it adds to the urgency for this season and why it's disappointing to be off to a 4-9 start. But what's the easy fix that makes this team young and competitive, you know, with a championship ceiling, I should say? Like, if that's the route you want to go and say, hey, we got to get younger, and we're encouraged by the play that we've seen from Ajax and Ryan Rollins and all the other guys, like, yes, there's some positives that you've seen from them, but you need those guys sprinkled around your old guys and veterans, because moving any of the, like, if you trade Damian Lillard, it's a concession of this isn't working and we need to start rebuilding. We're not going to compete for a championship this season. They haven't gotten there yet, because it may be something that we never find out, but there's still a belief within that organization when we have these guys healthy, and if we can have them healthy together in the postseason, we think we can make enough noise. We think we're at that level. It's three straight seasons you haven't had it. The longer that goes on, the harder it is to justify. I get that, but you know, trading one of those pieces when you're a top-heavy team, whether or not that's the right way to construct a roster is a different conversation, and I think it's a conversation that's going to be had by a lot of teams starting this season with the impact of the second apron and the new CBA. But doing that signals it's over and it's time to rebuild, and that's not where this group is yet. And not only that, you do that and you say, okay, we got to trade to get younger, and we got to trade this guy. We got to trade Dame. We got to trade Brook Lopez. Let's bring in younger guys and get more athletic. What's the message that sends to Giannis then? For a guy that wants to compete for championships. Like, that's part of the trade-off, is you got to try to find a way to thread the needle. And look at what the Golden State Warriors did in the offseason, where it was a tough, hey, Klay Thompson synonymous with this organization and what we've done for the last decade, as big a piece as Steph Curry, or close to it, with our success and the championships that we've won, but it's time to move on. You're up for a new deal. We're not going to pay you that much. Instead, we're going to use that money to sign younger guys that can compete. I get the rationale behind that and wanting to do that, but you didn't have that situation available to you this offseason. Like, that's the other problem. The only way you could have gotten younger and blown was to just totally blow this up and say we're going to move guys. Like, next year, this summer, you're going to have some more leeway because of the way that the contracts are going to be set up and structured here. Brooke Lopez is a free agent. Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis, and Chris Middleton all have player options next season. If they pick those up, they're expiring contracts. If they decline them, that's money off your books. But there was no way to do that in the offseason other than just saying, it's done. We're going to go young, and we're going to blow this up and rebuild. And again, if you do that, you are likely doing it without Giannis. So that's why you're trying to extend this as far as you can and squeeze every last drop out of it for this year especially. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage, or the line to join us here today on Bucks Talk. Brandon, I know you have some thoughts on that. We'll hear those and hear from some more calls after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
All right, a 4-9 start to the season for the Bucks after a tough loss in Charlotte to the Hornets. We'll get to your thoughts in just a second here, Brandon. Let's grab one more call. Joe in New Berlin, you're up next.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. So the last caller kind of made the point about considering a trade for Lillard, and you sound bothered by even the concept of it, and I don't think it's that wrong of a concept. I mean, Towns gets traded from Minnesota. Big-time players do get traded. You get something back. So just making a trade for Lillard for something doesn't necessarily in any way mean you're conceding in any part of the season. As long as you have Giannis, you're a championship contender. I mean, you were, like, mad at him for making the point. I thought you were totally unfair to him.
That's fair. My point is, so what are you getting for Damian Lillard, ideally? What is your trade scenario?
Listen, we're not going to, in 30 seconds, be able to come up with a trade scenario for him, but if you got Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle.
So here's,
I mean, if you got those kind of players back, because right. Lillard so is a great player,
that's a bad trade.
Shooting,
but here's the problem, though. And look,
it's a bad trade. Why? You're 4-9, and you've gone 4 years getting out of the first round one time. And you act as if they've won championships.
You've got 2 years without.
They won one championship 4 years ago. No, that's not true. Out of the first round twice. Next year will be 4 years.
We're not at next year, though.
Somebody calls in and says, oh, my God, I think we should trade. You guys act, you guys, like, beat them up as if it's not a valid thought process. You're totally unfair.
The thought process, so if you trade Damian, here's the thing. It is going to be incredibly difficult for them to move him regardless because of their situation in the second apron and how difficult that is. So your option is basically find another max contract to bring in. And if you look at the max contracts in the league, who's the team that's willing to give up a guy and saying, yeah, this isn't working out? Like, I've seen the Jimmy Butler thing kicked around. You're having the same questions over age and everything else. And not to mention, Jimmy Butler makes more than Damian Lillard, so that trade doesn't even work there. The other option is we're trading him and we're saving money to get out of the second apron, which then you're not taking back as much. The challenge of all of it and why I push back against it is you went all in, and this is the group that you're going forward with. I get the questions over the age and the athleticism, and you'd love to be younger, but it's kind of like The Last Dance, where we approach this season knowing that was going to be the case. For the way that the contracts are, the age of this group, this is the last run. And that's the challenge with all of it is I look, last year happened. I get that. But 13 games is still way too early to pull the plug and say this isn't working. It's time to move on. It's time to trade Damian Lillard, because I just don't know what trade is out there that keeps you a title contender when you look at the other teams in the Eastern Conference that you're going up against. You know, if you bring back two very good role players for Damian Lillard, I don't know that that's enough to keep you in the picture. You know, like, look at how this team is playing. There's a lot to be encouraged by from Ryan Rollins and your young guys, Andre Jackson Jr., but it's a top-heavy team. You need those guys on the floor. And I just keep going back to the progress we'd seen from Giannis and Dame playing together. The fact that if Damian Lillard is on the floor today, you have a different final shot that you're taking in this game. Like, yeah. I just think moving any of those guys, you know, especially those two, Giannis and Dame, that is a sign that we don't think this is ever going to work. And we just have to tear it down and rebuild.
The guy that the Bucks sent away in the Damian Lillard trade admitted that he would have made that trade. Damian Lillard is a top 75 player. Not currently, not of the last 10 years, of all time. He's one of, if not the most clutch players in NBA history. To go back to the caller, Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle don't even move the needle for me, Justin, even if it was possible. Well, it doesn't. I'm going down with Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton if and when he comes back. And I believe those three together have played less than 10 games as a full unit. So the jury is clearly still out on those guys. But I've said it before, and this is kind of a general statement. Like, this is it for the Bucks. This is it. This is your golden age. Like, it's not going to get any better. It's rough right now. It's been rough the last few years, and I understand the frustration because I'm frustrated too. But things happen when the playoffs come around. Chris Middleton slipping on the floor, that series probably ends up a little bit different. Giannis going down in game one against the Miami Heat probably goes different if he's healthy. They weren't healthy last year, obviously, in the playoffs. Damian Lillard and Giannis both battling injuries. But if you're a general manager, you're running a team, you make that trade for Damian Lillard every day that ends in Y. I won't belittle anybody for recommending a trade, because at this point you're 4-9 and fans are frustrated, and I understand that. Whatever you get for Damian Lillard isn't going to equal what you expect. It's not going to come to fruition. Damian Lillard is one of the best players and has been one of the best players in the NBA, point blank, period.
Yeah, and again, I didn't want to make it sound like we're beating up callers that are suggesting this, because we may hit the point where that is a conversation eventually that needs to be happening. You know, if this extends, and I've said before, if we get into January and this is still they're a game below 500, but we think they're starting to figure it out. Like, those are choppy waters with the schedule that you have in front of you in the month of March. But I don't think we're there yet, because number one, just what it signals, if this didn't work, you don't pivot and then pivot again into more success typically. It's part of we got to tear it down and we got to start over. But the other part of it is just the challenge that exists in this collective bargaining agreement to move those contracts, number one. I'm not saying, and I don't, for the obvious reasons, but I don't like getting into player X and Y should be traded and yada, yada, yada. But it's going to be tough to move those types of contracts, because I think you've seen a reluctance from some teams knowing just how difficult it is to navigate this in having multiple supermax contracts on your team because of how much that severely handcuffs you. That's going to be a challenge. The fact that you can't take, and it shouldn't be an issue with a supermax contract, but you can't take back a dollar more than what you're sending out if you're in the second apron. Well, what about the other teams that would be looking for that type of fix-up or change-up? They'd be pretty close to that spot, too, so they can't take back more. And then you get into the whole fact, too, of teams that are hard-capped at the first apron. Like, it's going to be tough. That I think you know this is the group that we have. The tinkering that we can have, the trades that we will make, are going to be more surface level, and really more than that, it's probably just going to be developing the young guys. We'll share some final thoughts and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, Monday night, the Bucks and the Houston Rockets at Fiserv Forum. It's going to be tough. The Rockets are playing very, very good, very well. They are a top 10 offense and defense, and they have the opposite problem of the Bucks, as it's been pointed out by a few here. They have a ton of young talent. They're in the spot where it's always you got one too many guys that you would look for a trade. So who knows? Maybe they're a trade partner should the Bucks decide to do something. But the point of all of it is it's still too early to reach that conclusion of this didn't work. I think you have to give it every chance you can just because of, number one, what it signals, what you could expect to get in return, and what it means for the ceiling of this team. Like, I get a lot of, and I'm surprised, Brandon, we didn't get more of it, but I don't, you remove Damian Lillard from this team and you're not at that level anymore. That's the right line that the Bucks are going to have to walk. So Monday night, hopefully we have better results. The Bucks and the Houston Rockets. We'll talk to you then on Bucks Talk.